And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter, whether a man has to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. How's a man going to be saved? That was the issue. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. This was the first church council, and it was probably the most important meeting that the church has ever had. And it was settled an issue that men have been arguing about and will argue till the end of time. It started in the Garden of Eden. How is a man going to be saved? That was the issue in this council that they got together. And Paul was preaching, him and Barnabas, and it said in verse 1, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, men who were saved, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses. Now they made a flat statement here. You cannot be saved unless you come and act like us Jews and enter into the covenant that Abraham, God gave to Abraham, and be circumcised. And then keep the law of Moses. Keep all the rituals and all the ceremonies. Attend the synagogues. You cannot be saved. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Abel offered blood because he was a sinner. Cain offered the works of his hands because he wasn't a sinner. And if all it takes is a man to be circumcised and to keep a few rituals to be saved, and then look what else he says down here. Oh my. And the church, that's what they're debating. That's the issue. How are you going to be saved? The issue is how are you going to be saved. How are you going to be saved today? If God's going to save you, how's He going to save you? Is He going to ask you and require you to do something? And then He goes on to say. So they went, Paul and Barnabas, and they headed to Jerusalem. They said, we'll get with the apostles and we'll settle this issue once and for all. And then it says in verse 4, and when they come to Jerusalem and were received of the churches and the apostles and elders, they declared all things that God had done with them. We didn't do anything but what God done through us. That's what he's saying. We didn't do anything. Everything we've done, God worked it. God did it. If we preached the gospel, God taught it to us. If anybody was converted, God did it. If anybody believed the gospel, God did it. And they began to declare what God had done through them. And there rose up, now listen to it again, but there rose up certain, but they're there with James and John and all the elders in Israel, these apostles, and they all gathered together, and they had a multitude of people. And there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Well, they got together to decide what in the world this is going to do. And I tell you, they're going to be circumcised. Is salvation going to be by works? Peter, Paul, and Barnabas, true soldiers of the cross. They just absolutely refused to bow the knee or take the yoke of salvation by works. And that's why Simon Peter says down here, he says, now, look what happened. He says there in verse 10, now why ye tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? We weren't able to bear this yoke. But we believe. Now listen to this. That's the title of my message. The Apostles' Creed. What did the apostles preach? What did they believe? We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Oh, and that's what he said, you know, said, we're going to settle this issue once and for all. You Pharisees, hear what I'm going to say. You brethren from Judea, hear what I'm going to say. And everybody from here on, this is the way of salvation. Don't doubt this. And I say, we do not dare tell men any other way to be saved. And that's why Paul said, that Peter said here, our fathers weren't able to bear it. And I'll tell you what he says. Look what he says in verse 11. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be, us Jews, with all of our laws and all of our rituals, with our priesthood and our sacrifices and our prophets, we Jews, us apostles, we believe that we're going to be saved like God saved them Gentiles. That's what he's saying. He says, we believe. We believe. This is the Apostles' Creed. This is what they believe. He said, he didn't get up and say, now I'm going to tell you what I feel. I'm going to not tell you about my opinion. I'm not going to tell you any thoughts about what I think about this. I'm not going to make any suggestions to you. I'm not going to tell you that tomorrow is going to be the best day of your life if you'll accept Jesus. I'm not going to tell you that all you've got to do is find out that Jesus Christ is the answer, but you don't even know the questions. We believe. And that's why Peter, he also said in another place, he said, be ready always to give a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. And I tell you, when it says we believe, I tell you, it also tells us what they didn't believe. When they believed that salvation is through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, this tells you also what they didn't believe. They didn't believe in circumcision anymore for salvation. They didn't believe in works anymore for salvation. They didn't believe in rituals anymore for salvation. And I tell you, some men say that, and the Catholic Church says this, that Peter was the first pope. Wonder what he'd say about that if he was here today. Oh, he'd rebuke him. What would his reaction to be? Oh, and I tell you what, beloved, when they says that we believe through grace, they were saying we don't believe that salvation's any other way. We don't believe in our rituals. We don't believe in our circumcision. We don't believe in our works. We don't believe in our law keeping. We don't believe in anything. He says, now listen, we don't believe that the bread and wine's going to save us. It's not going to sanctify us or make us any better. Water baptism's not going to save us. Because Paul says, you know, and Peter said, they said, men and brethren, what must we do? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's evangelistic service, what it would say is that now Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And Jesus wants you. And won't you please come and accept Him and come up here and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And that's not what, when Paul Peter stood up and said, we believe, he never said anything about what God, that you had to do to get Jesus Christ into your heart. And I tell you what, they didn't believe that salvation was in what you eat, or what you drank, or what you didn't eat, or what you didn't drink. Remember when Peter said there, you know, when he went to, the Lord was going to send him over to preach to Cornelius, you remember that sheet that come down? Oh, God taught Peter something there. He said, oh, rise, Peter, slay and eat. He said, not me, Lord. I ain't nothing common, there's nothing unclean ever entered my mouth. And on, and he says, what God hath cleansed, don't you call common. And he went straightway and preached to them Gentiles. Oh, and I tell you what else they didn't believe. They didn't believe that salvation was being a Pharisee or a self-righteousness or the works. Look what he said in verse 5. There rose up certain of the sects of the Pharisees. They said they believed, which believed. Saying that it's needful to circumcise and command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, I'll tell you what, you want to see what a Pharisee's like? Look with me over in Luke 18. I'll show you what a Pharisee's like. And there's plenty of them around. You don't realize, you know, the longer that you understand the grace of God and see that salvation is by grace and see more of the Lord Jesus and you see more of your own sinfulness and your own weaknesses and inabilities, when you never realized how self-righteous people were until you really understand the grace of God. You get around most people that go to a church somewhere. All they talk about is what they believe and what they do and all the things that they... How long they went without missing a service. How that they got saved. How that they pass out tracts. And there's people that teach that if you don't go pass out tracts, and if you don't knock on doors, that and if you ain't out there trying to win souls to Jesus, said you're a heretic and you're... But now listen, let me ask you this. If passing out tracts would keep one soul out of hell, let's cancel this service right now and get us a bunch of tracts and go start passing them out. If it takes money to win souls, let's all live on bread and water and beans and cornbread, and let's give all of our money so that we can win souls. If walking the streets and hemming people up and witnessing to them is what it takes to win souls, let's cancel this service and go walking on the street corner and telling people that they need Jesus. Now, they are the group of believers right here, and these fellas got up and they started talking about... Now, I'll tell you something. These folks can't be saved except they be circumcised and commanded them to do it. Now, look what he's listening. You want to see a Pharisee? Now, listen. Down in verse 10, Luke 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. One was bragging on himself and the other was begging. And that's what I heard old Scott say that one time. Either a man is bragging or he's begging. And that's the way you can tell the difference. Look what the Pharisee stood. He didn't get down on his knees. He didn't prostrate his heart. He stood up so everybody could see. They love to be seen of men. Love to stand and make their long prayers. Love to stand with their broad phylacteries. Love to stand in their robes so everybody can see them. And the Pharisee stood and listened to what it said. Prayed thus with himself. I am not as other men are. That's the first thing. I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I don't charge men more than what anything's worth. I'm not unjust. Or I'm not an adulterer like other people. And then he seen that publican over there. He said, or even is that publican right there. He pointed that publican out and told, prayed thus with himself, I'm not like that. I'm not like Donnie Bell. I'm not like Bruce Daly. I'm not like him.
I'm so much, oh listen, that publican, oh my God, he don't even need to be in the same building I am. And then look what happened. And then he went on to say, I fast twice in the week. And I give tithes of all that I possess. I mean, beloved, when he said all I possess, he said, I tell you what, if I raised a tomato patch every time I got 10 tomatoes, I took one up to the temple so the Levite could have it to make him a sandwich with some tomato on it. I mean, they was into it, I tell you what. But look, now listen to the difference now. And the publican, he stood afar off. He understood the distance between him and God. He understood that he had no right to approach. He had understood that, oh my soul, I'm just... And then look what he said. And he wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. He said, oh God, oh Lord, you are holy. You're in the heavens. And then look what happened. And he smote on his breast. That's where his heart was. He smote on his breast. That's where his trouble was. And then look what he said. God, be merciful to me. And this is what he said. The sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And what happens? What happened between these two men? Our Lord said, I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified. And that's the way these Pharisees was. Oh my. And they didn't believe in self-righteousness. They didn't believe their righteousness would do anything before God back over in Acts 15. It wasn't do the best you can. It wasn't, you know, they didn't believe that you worship your God your way and I worship my God my way. Huh? You worship God according to your conscience and I worship God according to my conscience. As long as you're sincere, that's all it takes. If you're sincere about your God, I'm sincere about mine. We all want to, you know, all the roads leads there. No matter what road you go on, that's what they tell. But oh, beloved, listen, I tell you what we're saved by. Now look in Romans. I want you to see Romans 4 just a minute. A man's either going to be saved by grace, Romans 4:4. We're going to be saved by grace, saved by the gift of God, the grace of God, or else you're going to get paid. One or the other. And you know what the wages you'll earn if you're not saved by grace? Look what he said here now in Romans 4:4. Now to him that worketh is the reward. It's not reckoned, it's not counted of grace. If a man works for salvation, then what God gives him is not reckoned of grace. God said, I don't owe you grace. I'm not going to give you grace. Oh, my. But it's a debt. So, that, you know, if you're going to be in debt to God, you reckon that you can pay off the debt by your works? That's what Paul said. If you want your wages, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Perish every thought of human pride. Let God be magnified. And I tell you what else they didn't believe. They didn't believe in salvation by the free will either. They didn't believe that man had the choice or the power to exercise his free will and be saved by his will. Look what he says up here down in verse 7. What Paul said. I mean, what Peter said here. Look what he says. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that good while ago God made choice among us. Out of all of us, God made choice. The gospel is by God's choice. Salvation is by God's choice. Who is saved by God's choice? We're bound always to give thanks unto God for you, brethren, because God from the beginning has chosen you. Chosen you. It was His choice. Chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that's not of yourself. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. And I tell you, look, I know I'm having you look at a place. Look in Ephesians with me, just 1 minute. Here, Ephesians 1:12.
God made choice. And not only that, but beloved, He made choice that these men should hear the gospel. Hear the gospel. He made choice who's going to hear the gospel. Everybody don't hear the gospel. Everybody never. There's a multitude of people that never have the gospel preached to them. The most popular preacher right now in the United States of America, he wouldn't know the gospel if it slapped him between the eyes. He wouldn't. Heard him just a few minutes this morning talking about how to be successful. He wrote about a successful Savior. That's the only success I'm interested in, is what Christ accomplished. It's His success that saves us, not ours. And our success will have to be just nothing. All we'll have to count, that's why we'll just have to count all of our righteousness and works and self-righteousness and everything we've done before we heard the gospel. We got to count it, but dumb. And look what he said here in Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of the glory of His glory who first trusted Christ. Now listen to this. In whom you also trusted. Now listen to it. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom ye believed. After that you believed, God said, gave you the Holy Ghost and made you understand. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And I tell you, beloved, it's not by the will of man, but it's of God. It's not of him that willeth. Not of him that willeth. Now I've got the will to see people saved. Now I've got the will. I see people saved, but I can't save a soul. And if you're willing to be saved, you know how he is made willing? In the day of his power. He makes you willing. Ain't that right? It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do. By his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Huh? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of the flesh, born not of blood, born not of the will of man, but of God. There's no blood, no will, no power, but God's power that gives man life. Huh? They didn't believe in salvation by free will. So I tell you what. You say, oh, that sounds like you don't believe a man can do anything. I think you finally got it. And what I'm telling you is that if you're ever saved, you're going to give all the glory to God and you're going to give it to Him in Christ's name. If God saves you, it's going to be by His grace. If you ever know God, God's going to have to come and make you know Him. And that's why men sit around and so proud and arrogant. And that's why they brag about themselves and their accomplishments. That's why they brag about their church attendance. That's why they brag about their jobs. That's why they brag about what they've accomplished in this world. That's why preachers get up and count heads. That's why preachers have folks come to the front so they can go back to their denominational head and say, we had 49 people baptized this year. You know, they want to be able to go back and tell everybody what they did. Henry Mahan, when he first started preaching up there at Pollard, they had the most baptisms and confessions of faith at Pollard Baptist Church the first years there in all the state of Kentucky. And then one day, God taught him the gospel. And he said, boy, man, what a mess I made out of things. That's what I'm telling you. You know what you can do? You can just say, Lord, I can't do nothing. But you can.
You can be like that publican. You can smite your breast and say, God, be merciful to me. I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. You do that. You can do that. Now let me give you something else about over here in Acts 15. Oh my goodness. Let's take this Apostles' Creed apart, where Peter says, we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we should be saved even as they. Let's take it apart. Let's take it apart into pieces. And it contains lots and lots of truths. First of all, when it says we should be saved, that tells you that there's something wrong with you, why you need to be saved. Well, what's wrong with you? The old timers had what they call the three R's. Ruined. What does that mean? That means that you're ruined in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your will. You're ruined in your father Adam. There's not a spot on your body that you're not full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. It's when God looks at you, all He sees is a diseased, ruined, sinful, willfully sinful, prideful, self-righteous, just a ruin. Not a spot in you. Not a spot in you, inside or out. This dot's got a... just ruined by sin. Huh? And I tell you what, dead in trespasses and sins. And I tell you what else. You know, Will's been on sin, ruined completely. The second R is this. Redemption by blood. If you're ruined so bad that somebody's got to pay for your sin, you must be redeemed. And only through blood that sins are paid for. It's only through blood that redemption's accomplished. And Christ shed His blood on the cross 2,000 years ago. And not only that, beloved, you must be regenerated. If you're ruined by sin, I said, we shall be saved. Now, if you're going to be saved, that means that there's something wrong with you, that you need saving. And that tells you that you can't save yourself. If we must be saved, that means we can't do it. And it tells us that, beloved, not only are we redeemed by blood, ruined by sin, redeemed by blood, we must be regenerated by the Spirit of God. God's got to come and give us life. Quicken us with Christ. And oh, beloved, and I'll tell you something else that this teaches us. The doctrine of the blessed grace of God. Look at that word. We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that word grace. Just love it. I just absolutely love it. I just love to hear somebody say it. Love to hear people preach it. Love to hear people talk about it. And all that word grace. Grace. Unmerited, undeserved. Grace. You know what grace does? It's what suits the sinner. It's the only hope for a sinner. It's the only help for a sinner. It's the only thing that it suits the sinner. This is what he needs. He needs grace. He needs grace. He needs God to give him grace. He needs God to look at him and say, I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to be compassionate. That's what suits me. Grace suits me. What can we give? Why, right now, this minute, we sing, is it well with you? So, oh, my sin of this glorious thought, oh, my sin not in part, is nailed to the cross, I bear him no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Listen, if you had to pay for God right now to do something for you, what would you give? Grace, oh, that suits us. Grace is what we need. Grace is what saves us. Grace is what's going to keep us. Grace is going to take us to glory. Grace, grace, and more grace. Where did grace come from? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Oh, grace, grace come. Free grace, sovereign grace. grace, keeping grace, sustaining grace. Oh, grace is what a sinner needs. And that suits me. I'm telling you, that's just exactly what I need. That's what we need, ain't it, Mary? What else is going to save us? How can I lay down at night and not be afraid that I won't wake up in the morning? Because I'll tell you why. When my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, and my faith shall be sight, and the Lord shall descend, and the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. Oh, even so, it is well with my soul. Huh? Oh my, this is what we need. We need grace. Peter says, or Paul did in 2 Timothy, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When did He give us that grace? Before the world began. And let me tell you something else it says here. That we shall believe that we shall be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now how in the world did Christ, how are we going to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ? Because our Lord Jesus Christ took our place, took His people's place. He died. He was a substitute. He died in the place of sinners. He died in the place of those whom God gave Him. Now listen to me. This is the gospel. If I never say another thing, if I quit right now, here's what God did. He sent His Son into this world. And His Son lived a life that you and I couldn't live. He rendered perfect and obedience to His Father. He fulfilled the law to every jot and every tittle. And then He came to the cross. Delivered up. God delivered Him up. And then when He hung Him on that cross, and our Lord said, for this cause came I into the world. When our Father delivered Him up to the cross, when He delivered Him up to that cross, it says that God made Him to be sin who knew no sin. And all the sins, listen to me, all the sins of God's elect, from Adam to the last man that lives on this earth, they all came to meet on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they came to meet on Jesus Christ, God poured His wrath out on Him. And that man, because of the worth of His person, He was God and He was man. And as a man, He was able to bear sin. As a man, He is able to die. As a man, He was able to take our place. And as God, He was able to take our sins away. As God, He is able to pay for our sins. And all the sins for whom He died are completely put away. Gone forever and ever. And then God turned around and says, I'll take them for whom I offered my Son, and I'll make them the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, I wasn't even born. When Christ died on the cross, my sins were right there on Him. And I hadn't even been born yet. Not only my sins, the sin that I had when I was first born, the sin of Adam, and then all the sins that I would commit, and the sins until I die, Christ bore every single one of them. Ain't that right? If He didn't bear them all, then what hope have we? And that's what the gospel is. Christ bore all our sin in His own body. You mean, then if He's got them on Him, that means I don't have them on me. That means if He paid for them, I don't have to pay for them. That means if God's justice accepted His offering, that means that God's justice can't come and get me. That's what our Lord meant when He says, whom the Son sets free He's free indeed. That's why the scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh boy, I took too long, but I tell you what, that's the gospel, ain't it? I tell you, so you see, we shall be saved through the grace, through the death. Our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. I tell you something else, as it tells us here, what the apostles preached. It says that we shall be saved. We shall be saved. What does that mean? That means we're going to be saved. That means that we're going to persevere. You sure you'll make it to the end? No, but Christ did. Christ did. If He did, I will. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and listen to what it says. They shall never perish. You know what else He says? No man shall pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me, no man's able to pluck them out of His hands. Huh? Oh, we shall be saved. We shall, you know how long you're going to be saved? To the end. And then as old Barter you say, then I'll be plumb saved. We'll gather around the throne and we'll say, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I probably told you this before, but there was this woman in Mr. Spurgeon's congregation. She just doubted and feared all the time about whether she's saved or not. Just worried. She was what Mr. John Bunyan said, "Oh, Miss Much Afraid." She just went just afraid all the time. And she just doubted and feared and worried and fretted and always talked to Mr. Spurgeon and said, "Oh, Mr. Spurgeon, oh, I don't know if I'm saved. And, oh, Mr. Spurgeon, I have so many doubts. Oh, Mr. Spurgeon, I have so many fears." And you know, he just reached in his pocket, and £5 back in those days would be like offering somebody thousands of dollars now. But he reached in his pocket and said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. Since you know you're having such trouble with your salvation," and I said, "I'm gonna tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna give you this £5 note for your hope. You say you don't, your hope is, you're scared of your hope." He said, "I'll give you £5 for your hope right now." You know what she said? She said, "Oh, Mr. Spurgeon, I wouldn't take 1,000 worlds for my hope." You know, that's the way we are. Wouldn't take anything for it. Wouldn't take anything for it. Because you know what? It's the one God gave me. It's the one God gave me. Look what here. Now, some people are moral. And they claim to be moral. They claim to be good. And these Pharisees and these Jews, they came together. And when Peter says, "We believe that we shall be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as those Gentiles," they were telling these self-righteous Jews standing here, this publicans, these self-righteous Jews standing here, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to be saved like them Gentiles. You can just forget your law. You can forget your circumcision. You can forget your commandments. Huh? You talk about, and look how they said, they talked about, you know, they wouldn't put themselves in the same class. Look what he said here in verse 1. "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you, we're not the ones in trouble. You are. Huh? You can't be saved." That's what they said down here in verse 5. It says that it was needful to circumcise them. Ye and them. Oh, if you all be like us, you'd be all right. And Peter's sitting here and said, "Oh no, if God's going to save you Pharisees, if God's going to save you Jews, if God's going to save you men and your circumcision and all that," he said, "you're going to have to be saved by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, like God saved Cornelius over there, like God saved all them Gentiles Paul talked about." I tell you what, now listen to me. As far as God's concerned, there ain't a difference between the most best woman and best mother you can think of that's lost and a harlot who sell herself in some house somewhere. They both going to have to be saved by grace. One will appreciate it more than the other, but it still will take the grace of God to save them. Ain't that right? That's right. I'm telling you. Drunkards and harlots and thieves will go, our Lord said, they'll go into the kingdom of God before you Pharisees will. You see, there's no difference in the blood of humanity. All of us fell in Adam. And which is worse? Which is worse? Being self-righteous. I'm honest with you. I'd rather go to hell having never heard the gospel and as a drunkard as to be a self-righteous Pharisee facing God in my self-righteousness. That's the most despicable thing a person can do is be self-righteous. You know what that saying is? I don't need Christ. I don't need His blood. I don't need His righteousness. I don't need saving. That's what you're saying when you say that. And if you have been moral and decent and have some sense and just not out here a prolific sinner, be thankful for it. But don't trust it for justification. Don't do that. If you got any sense at all, thank God for it. And let me tell you what else. Here's the confession of an outward sinner. Look what he says. We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. What else can we claim except the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? We shall be saved even as anybody else is saved. Let me tell you, beloved, trying to wind this up. Our badness, our goodness, our poorness, our ignorance will make no difference. Salvation's by free grace. You can't be bad. People say, I'm just too bad a sinner. You can't be bad enough sinner. If you're that bad a sinner, you've already been saved. Because the only people that are bad sinners and know they're sinners is people who've been saved by the grace of God. And the longer they're saved, the more they know how sinful they are. How weak they are. And I tell you what, people say, boy, you know, you see these pictures, these apostles and Jesus and all these pictures, and they all got halos over their head. No, no. You know what they said? You know what Peter said? If I'm going to be saved, grace is going to have to save me. You say, well, you're an apostle. You walk with Christ. If I'm going to be saved, Christ and His grace is going to have to save me. Here's pardon for transgression past. It matters not how black they're cast. And oh, my soul with wonder view for sin to come. Here's pardon too. We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved like God saved this bunch right here. Our Father, in the blessed, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for the gospel. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for this great salvation. And we find You to be our all in all. Oh Lord, we need You, we want You, we desire You. And we know that if we're saved, You saved us. If we know we're saved tomorrow, You saved us. And You know if we end up in glory, it's because You did it. You did it. You did it all. All to You we owe. God bless this gospel to the hearts of them that's here this morning. Bless it to the hearts of Your children. Bless it to the hearts of those, Lord, who's never yet believed through grace. God, may they believe through grace today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. Oh, how merciful,
merciful thou art to me.
And he is. See you tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless you.